Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky back here on Move the Sticks. Buck, it's great to be back with you again, man. How's everything down in New Orleans?
It's good. Let me fix the light. I'm in the hotel room, so.
Oh, I like looking sure interrogated right here. That's what it looks like.
I got enough light. No,
where were you on the morning of the 7th?
No, it's crazy. So down in New Orleans, we are doing the first inaugural HBCU Legacy Bowl. It's a Black College All-Star game. So it's an opportunity for all these guys from historically and predominantly Black colleges to have an opportunity in front of the scouts. They've been representatives from every team here. There've been a handful of general managers that have been here in attendance to watch these guys perform. And so, DJ, as you know, as a scout, sometimes with small schools, you may not hit those schools during the course of the year, depending on how the schedule is with restrictions and those things. So it's an opportunity for those guys to get seen, have a little visibility, and do some of the interviews that they may not have done up until their pro day.
Yeah, and this is on the heels of the HBCU Combine that took place before the Senior Bowl. So I love the fact that we are in to look at you physically shining a light on these HBCUs and giving these guys a chance, man. It's great. It's a great opportunity. And, you know, I've talked to, you know, Steve and some of these other guys the last couple of years. Like, I think last year we had one guy drafted. Was that right, Buck?
No, we didn't have any drafted.
None.
Didn't have any drafted last year.
And there's got to be draftable talent in this league. So it's just a matter of giving them an opportunity and getting a chance to get eyeballs on them. I love the fact you mentioned that there's a handful of GMs down there as well.
Yeah, no, it's been really cool to kind of watch. And I would say the most notable name that we'll hear about is a guy named Aquil Glass, the quarterback from Alabama A&M. The kid threw for over 12,000 yards, had 109 touchdowns during his time at Alabama A&M. And he's a guy who has big-time arm talent. He played in the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, showed out well. So I would anticipate him being one of the best guys to play here. And then there's some other guys that are really intriguing in terms of, like, height, weight, speed, guys that you'll talk about either very late in the draft or as priority free agents. But there's certainly plenty of guys that have opportunity to continue their career.
And we had a couple corners at the Senior Bowl, too, that really shined and did well. Yeah. So two guys that can really, really run. So those guys are going to get picked. So this will not be a shutout this year for the HBCUs, which is good news. So they can find the game, by the way. That is Saturday, 4 Eastern on NFL Network. You can see Bucky, CD, Steve Weich. Who else is there with you, Buck?
Yeah, Cameron Wolf. Cameron Wolf.
Cameron's there.
Yeah, with myself. So it'll be a blast. And as you know, like I've been with some of your old Baltimore guys, like James Harris, Shaq Harris has been down there. Some of the other guys doing it. So no, it should be fun. Looking forward to it.
All right. So be on the lookout for that. On today's show, we are going to lock in and focus on the defensive line. So I'm powering through these guys, Buck. Man, there's not a lot of sleep. I know you've been going from one all-star game to the next, but I'm trying to cram all these guys in to get them all watched before the combine. So one group that I do have done is I do have the defensive line done. So I thought that would be a good place to start today. And the fact that your top five list has come out. So you can go, you can find Bucky Brooks' top five prospects by position for the 22 NFL draft. Go to NFL.com. You can find that easy. I'm sure if you just go NFL.com/Bucky Brooks, I'll give you everything you need there. But I figure we'd start out with that group because I think it's the best group in the draft.
Look, man, I am completely convinced that the D-line group is one of the best groups, if not the best group in the draft. When you think about the way the game has evolved and just looking at the Super Bowl, DJ, we've talked about it. Hey, it's about your quarterback, your playmakers. But, man, you better have pass rushers to be able to get it done. And, yes, you need to stop the run, but it's a lot easier to impact the game. If you're a pass rusher, can stop the run on the way to the quarterback. And whether it's an edge player, whether it's an inside player, it is about finding those guys that can own the trenches, and they better have some pass rush ability to be one of those guys that warrants a big grade.
Okay, well, let's start edge rushers here. Why don't you give us go in order here, your top five edge rushers, and then if you can just give us a little blurb or some of your thoughts on those guys as we go through. You just hit them 1 through 5, and then I'll come back on the back end and kind of give you where I have them, and we'll go through this list.
Okay, so 1 through 5, I have Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan at the top, Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon up under him, George Karlaftis from Purdue at third, David Ojabo from Michigan, my fourth, and then Jermaine Johnson from Florida State, I have at 5. And DJ, like, this is a very talented collection of pass rushers, and the debate is always going to be Hutchinson versus Thibodeau. Why do I have Hutchinson over Thibodeau? In my mind, Hutchinson offers you an A-level athlete with very refined technical skills. When you watch him his last year at Michigan, man, he has the hand-to-hand combat skills that you love. I believe he has a diversity in his game that will allow him to be a guy that can be a double-digit sack artist consistently. And because of that and his motor, I believe that, look, we talk about high floors and high ceilings. He is a high-floor prospect. And if I'm at the top of the board and, look, you want to hit a double, I believe Aiden Hutchinson is a double. He's going to be solid. He's going to be safe. He's going to be everything that you want. He may not give you that elite where we talk about multiple all-pro type performance, but I think this guy's going to be a really good player for a long time. Kayvon Thibodeau, to me, is a little more boom or bust in terms of his play. There's some things that you like on tape. When he's lined up and he's able to kind of get in that wide nine and come off in his track stance, he can give people problems. He can dip and rip and get around the edge. My issue with him is I don't know if he has enough counters to be able to get it done. I don't know if he's going to be able to have the ability to turn speed to power, to be able to kind of two-hand swipe and work inside and get that. That said, his fastball is like Mariano Rivera. Like, if he's dialed up, he's on the right team, a team that plays with the lead, and he's able to kind of get out wide, he can do a lot of intriguing stuff. The evaluation to me is very similar in a way to the way that we had the conversation about Brian Burns when Burns was coming out of Florida State in terms of speed rush, not necessarily finesse, but more speed, quickness, as opposed to pure power. And a lot of that depends on the scheme that he plays in.
Yeah, that's an interesting debate. You know, with Thibodeau, and I kind of said it when I came out with my first list, he's my sixth overall player. And I have him, as you do, we have the same top three. So I have it Hutchinson, Thibodeau, Karlaftis. But I'll tell you, man, everybody's in draft meetings right now. So you talk to your buddies in the evenings and they're kind of going through draft meetings. And I'm not saying we have, you know, a great feel on how this is all going to sort itself out. But I've had a couple different conversations around the league, Buck. And it's just fascinating to me because we're here on the outside saying, okay, the debate, is it Hutchinson? Is it Thibodeau? I talk to teams and the debate is it, you know, when Thibodeau's name comes up, it's like, I don't know. We like the Georgia kid better. We like Trevon Walker better than him. Like, wow. He's not fighting for pole position. He's fighting for third, fourth position, like in the teams. He is not as well at this point in time, just talking to folks around the league. And again, they're just in their preliminary draft meetings and this will all sort itself out. I'm just saying, like, there's not as much love in those NFL streets as maybe some people on the outside would think. I've been saying this for a little while, but now it's like it's more. I just keep hearing it over and over and over again.
And I think it's a hard eval. I think it's a hard eval just because, like, you see the flashes, and you see the flashes like early in his career where he's able to do it. But then you worry about, has the game evolved? Has his game evolved from the time we saw him as a freshman to the time he enters after his third season? And I would say there hasn't been major evolution in terms of the diversity in his game. What you would like to see when you're evaluating pass rushers, does he add a tool to the toolbox every year? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And so,
the two things that I keep hearing, Buck, and I saw it, I wrote it in my report, is there's some stiffness there. He's got some ankle tightness that bothers some people. And number two, I mean, he's listed at 6'5", 250. We'll see how big he is. Nobody that I talk to thinks he's that big, like just in terms of 6'5", they don't think he's that big a dude. And then you look at Trevon Walker, who's 275 pounds and who's a, you know, who's, in terms of movement stuff that he does, is pretty you know, it's pretty interesting of all the things he can do. And they didn't let him just rush the whole time in that defense. So there's people that think he's got even more upside to him. Aiden Hutchinson, what you said there is the exact same thing that I saw. And it's the exact same thing that I hear, which is, okay, maybe you're not in love with the upside, but this floor for this kid is really, really high. Like he's going to be fine. He's going to be a really good player. And maybe a lot of times when you think you got a double, you end up getting more than that. I think that's how I feel about this kid. That's why I have him as the top guy.
Yeah, no, I think some people get spooked maybe by seeing a play or two that hits Twitter versus Georgia, right? Where maybe he gets knocked to the ground and has to miss it. But DJ, when you go back and look at that game,
I know it was not that bad. He got held like crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely not as bad as people make it out to be. And then having watched him up close and personal at the Big Ten Championship game, I mean, he is just wearing fools out. And man, it's just the tenacity. To me, I am always willing to bank on a guy that is going to play 100 miles an hour. And when you have the ability to play at 100 miles an hour with hand skills in our league with some of the guys that we're seeing, because remember, every offensive tackle and guard that is playing in the National Football League is not an A-level player. Yeah. Let's just think about what we saw from the Cincinnati Bengals and who was playing. When you think about some of the offensive tackles that were playing in the playoffs, it is easy to see that Aiden Hutchinson is going to have a level of success because of his hand skills and his combination of athleticism.
All right, dig in real quick on Karlaftis. We both have him as the third guy. And I would say the league is split on him. You talk to guys around the league in their meetings, and some teams are higher than others. I don't think there's any, you know, there's no universal thought on him. Some people point to the Ohio State game and say, oh, you know, he played Ohio State, didn't do this, this, or this. I hear the name that comes up a lot when you talk to people around the league on him is with the success of Trey Hendrickson and what he's done. That there's just some of that to me with this kid. He doesn't ever stop, man. Like he just keeps coming and coming and coming. And you know, that's why to me he's my 14th player. Again, I think that this draft is fascinating in that we don't have that, you know, we don't have that Myles Garrett. We don't have the Bosa brothers up here. But this guy's gonna start. He's gonna be a really good, solid player for a long time.
It's funny. I think Trey Hendrickson is going to be the comparison that a lot of people use to kind of either validate him when they're making the sale in the room. I think playing hard is a skill. I think it's something that you have to evaluate. Guys that play hard, guys that are relentless in their pursuit of the quarterback, they have an opportunity. This is a guy who is very productive. And look, Purdue has put out a lot of pass rushers over time in the National Football League that have been successful. This is a guy that is one of the all-time greats there when it comes to sacking the passer. And so he certainly deserves a nod. Let me talk about and address Walker, and like why Walker is hard for me is because he's such a tweener that when you're doing these lifts, he's not necessarily a 100% pass rush edge guy. He's not a 100% defensive tackle. And so when you're trying to compile him, you're like, well, where do I put him? And that is why this draft is going to be fascinating, because everybody views it differently based on the scheme that they run and where do you slot him. And so we'll get a lot of clarity and perspective on him after the combine. Not only when we get a chance to see him work, but when we get a chance to be around more guys and talk about, hey, where are you guys really placing him? Where should I put his card? Is he an outside guy? Is he an inside guy?
Yeah. And to me, I mean, the stuff he does off the ball, you're like, that's weird. Let's see a 275-pound dude who's dropping in coverage and like making plays in coverage. I mean, there's some freaky stuff there. It's just finding the right fit for him, finding the right spot for him. But one of the best things about the combine, and people can say, oh, it's the Underwear Olympics, who cares? Well, look, we can get into the interviews and the value there. To me, one of the most valuable things is changing E's to V's. So if you know how scouting works, when you get your numbers, when you're watching a player and you write down on your sheet, okay, he's 6030E, 295E. Those are estimates which have been pulled from the website or talking to somebody, but they're not absolute. And I can tell you for a fact, as I'm going through and doing all these dudes, like I had their names in a bunch of E's in my computer. Well, the guys that went to the Senior Bowl, there's examples of I'm watching a guy and I look in my computer and I have him at 6060, so 66E. And then I get to the Senior Bowl and he's 6041 V for verified. Like that has been verified. Yeah. So when we look at Thibodeau, 65250 is what he's listed at. When we look at Walker, 65275. Those are E's. We'll put some B's on there and find out how big these guys really are.
And that matters in the evaluation. I know people give scouts a tough time sometimes on Twitter, like why guys consume with the numbers and the measurables and those things, because it matters. those things do matter when you're trying to figure out who's who and what's what, and you're trying to sort out the guys.
Yeah, these guys are graded close, man. Like these things.
Like, DJ, traits matter. Like we've seen in certain programs, guys with traits. And look, all that stuff that I used to talk about with pass rushers, about sack production or whatever. And then I go and I look at, was it Ofale from Baltimore? Because he changed his first name.
Odafe.
He changed his first name. Look, he goes to Baltimore, and a guy who didn't get a sack his last year at Penn State, he's over there creating chaos off the edge. And part of that is because you can look at the traits and you can project out, well, maybe if all of these things go right, he could pop at the next level. And so that's why the verifies matter, because you're beginning to build a case for why this guy could play at a high level. You want those verifies to help you.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. All right. I want to get to a couple more guys you had there in your top five. Jermaine Johnson, who was outstanding at the Senior Bowl, didn't play the game. He took it to the house, but man, he was dominant down there, Buck.
Look, man, he's a dominant player. You see the flash in DJ. This guy has everything, man. He's kind of like the total package in terms of the way he's put together. The way that he plays, the skill level that he shows coming off the edges. He's a very, very impressive player. And you talked about it, like the word on the street coming out of the Senior Bowl, this guy had a great Senior Bowl week. He showed that he has some special traits and abilities. That's why DJ, like when we talk about the first round or even the top two rounds, there are going to be so many of these guys to go, because I think this position is one where, hey man, if you're stuck at another spot, hey, man, let's go get a pass rush.
Yeah, load up.
We can load up and get some of these pass rushing guys. And I think that's one of the things that is also going to come out of the copycat nature of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. When you look at how many guys the Rams were able to trot out, how many guys the Cincinnati Bengals were able to trot out over the course of the year, you have to have pass rushers in a state. I mean, it almost is like your bullpen. You got to be able to throw multiple guys out there to be able to get home.
Well, I think if you go back and look at that Super Bowl, not to get sidetracked, but you remember, I think it was, the second or third play of the game, Trey Hendrickson just beats Witt right off the snap. He gets a sack. I'm watching the rest of that game, Buck. Trey Hendrickson had a tight end or a back or a receiver chipping on him the whole rest of the game. And I thought, really, the Bengals didn't have another guy. Like
They need
another guy. And you look at the Rams, and it's like Von Miller one play, then it's Aaron Donald, then it's Leonard Floyd. That matters, man. That matters.
They're waving him in. DJ, you almost have to have four guys that can do it. Two guys that are starters that can play all the time. But then you got to be able to rotate those guys and either do a NASCAR package or something else. You have to be able to attack the quarterback in ways, because as teams are dropping back 40 and 45 times, it's too hard to lean on one guy to do all of the work. You got to be able to distribute the wealth when it comes to the disruption at the point of attack.
All right. Give me your thoughts real quick on Ajabo. You have Ajabo in there from Michigan.
I have Ajabo in there. And Ajabo to me is a beneficiary of some of these guys who've been really explosive that might not have been consistent during their collegiate careers, but they have traits. This guy has traits, and then he has the final season of production where he had 11 sacks. But he's able to come off the edge and do that. Now, he benefited from playing opposite Aiden Hutchinson. So how much is he going to be able to generate on his own? And so as we categorize these pass rushers, they're your guys that are your number one pass rushers, but then they're also guys that are best suited to be a sidekick, a complementary role. So if you already have an established guy, okay, we can take this guy because he's going to see more one-on-one. It's a difference. I believe he's an ideal sidekick pass rusher. Don't know if he's the number one, but I think you put him away from somebody that's already established, I think he can be a guy to be very productive off the edges.
So Ajabo is my 21st player. I think it's a pretty safe bet that all of those guys that we've just mentioned, which is, for me, Ajabo is my sixth guy. What do you have him at, four? Is that where you have him?
I have him at four.
So anyways, so if we just add a Walker in there from Georgia, you know, we're talking about where you're just trying to figure out where you put him, right? So If we add him as an edge guy.
Where did you put him? Did you put him as
– I put him as – so I do it edge and DT. So to me, okay. he's an edge guy. Going to play. I think he's going to play on the edge. But so that's six. I think all those guys go in the top 20. I mean, are you with me on that? I think it's almost a lock that we're going to see these guys all go in the top 20.
Yeah, I think they all are gone. Yeah. I think they all are gone. And I think the nature of the position, DJ, we talk about it. When we looked in the postseason, you had to be able to get to the quarterback if you're going to have a chance to win the game. Mm-hmm. You had to be able to close it out with your pass rush. You think about what Tennessee was able to do, getting 9 sacks against Joe Burrow. They didn't win the game, but that stood out. You think about the Rams and some of those other teams, the 49ers being able to win with the pass rush. The teams that didn't have multiple guys, they couldn't consistently get it done when it mattered. You have to have multiple guys. And so it's a feeding frenzy on those pass rushers. And it'd be interesting to see what position drops because people are going to go hard after the pass rushers.
No, I don't have any doubt whatsoever. These pass rushers are all going to fly off the board. And I think you're going to look at the offensive tackles, which we're going to take one of these episodes as we lead up to the combine and just kind of dig in on these positions. So we'll get to offensive line. We'll get to all this other stuff. I think you probably see a good number of offensive linemen and corners. I think that's what this draft is. I think you're going to see. And I think what happens, you know what position gets pushed back, Buck? The position we talk about every year. Wideouts. You're going to see these wideouts who are really good players, but they're going to get punished because there's so many of them.
DJ, there's so many. It was so hard to rank five because it depends on going to the ice cream shop and what flavor do I like. Do I want the big body guys like Drake London and Trayvon Burks? Do I want the speedy guys that can make things happen? Like Penn State, there's so many flavors and playmakers. It'll be interesting to see how this stacks up.
All right, so let me give you some more names here just to kind of finish up this edge conversation. So in my top 50, the only one we haven't talked about was Ebikadi from Penn State. He was okay during the Senior Bowl. I was hoping maybe be a little bit more dominant, but he's long. He's a leverage rusher. He's a good player. But since the Senior Bowl, man, as I said, I'm just powering through all this tape. And a couple of these guys were at the Senior Bowl, and I've since had a chance to really dig into their tape. So these are highly graded guys. I'm gonna have to mix into my top 50. They're in the mix there. Boye Mafe from Minnesota, who was hell on wheels in the game.
Yeah, we talked about him. Yeah,
he's going to test great. Like a freak. He's 6'3" and a half, 255 pounds, really explosive. The next one who was added to the Senior Bowl, who I think you might have seen at the PA before he got the Battlefield promotion there later in the week, which was Sam Williams from Ole Miss. Buck, yeah. I gave him a 6'5" D, like which those guys can have gone in the first round with that grade. Like that's a top 50 pick for sure. He's got the off the field stuff. The teams are going to have to sort through. But if you're just talking about talent and ability, this dude has got juice. He can bend at the top of his rush, man, big time.
DJ, I want to say he had double digit sacks at Ole Miss.
12 and a half.
Four forced fumbles coming off the edge. I mean, freak show coming off. His ability, that dip and rip move that he has where he just kind of bends and bursts. He's stolen that from some really good players because he gets to the quarterback effectively off of that. And you're right, man. He was a man amongst boys against the competition at the PA Bowl. So then when you go back and watch him at Ole Miss, you're like, hey, man, this guy has a lot of stuff. So if you can sort out the other stuff on the field, he certainly is worthy of being in that conversation as a top 50 player.
Another guy who's going to be kind of a stand-up rusher and can play off the ball, who I put a good grade on, is Nick Benito from Oklahoma, who, man, he's – and this is not – you don't draft somebody off this particular reason, but, Buck, he's as good a spine quarterback as anybody I've ever seen. They'll line him up on the edge. They'll let him slough off to the middle of the field, and he just waits, and the quarterback goes, and then, boom, he can shoot his gun, man. He is explosive. Now, he's listed – again, estimates, right? That's why we want to get to the combine. He's listed at 6'3", even 240, even. We'll see how big he is. Now, if he's 6'2", 225, I'm like, well, he's going to play off the ball. I don't know exactly what I do with him. I think he can play off the ball, but he can rush off the edge. And by the way, is it Young MC? Because I keep thinking every time I look at my list and I see his name, I think Nick Benito, roll to the church in my new tuxedo. Was that like Bust a Move or something like that? Is that what that was?
That's funny.
But he's and then I've got right next to him, again, we talk about traveling partners, right? You kind of let these guys travel together, then you'll sort them out. D'Angelo Malone, who goes to the Senior Bowl from Western Kentucky. He's 6032, so a little over 6'3", 234 pounds, which is crazy light, right, for somebody that's coming off the edge. But, man, he was bowling people. He's got big-time burst. You know, you know, okay, I don't know exactly what to do with him. The guy's a good football player. But so I put him and Benito next to each other. I'm going to let them travel together. Cameron Thomas from San Diego State was an acquired taste for me. When I first watched him, I was like, okay, he doesn't have big-time juice, doesn't have big-time power. But, Buck, he's so good with his hands. And you talk about other guys needing ways to get to the quarterback. This guy's got every trick in the bag, you know. And they align him kind of in a tight alignment. I think he'll loosen him up a little bit, and you'll see even a little bit more from him. But he's some of those guys, you just, the more you watch him, you start to appreciate him a little bit more.
Man, it's funny how that works, right? So the first part of what we're doing is in getting ready for the combine, we have to talk about being able to play the hits, right?
Yeah.
So you want to get through the catalog of names. You want to make sure you get the top guys done. Like if we were breaking this down, people will always hear this. You know, some guys have 100 people on the board. Some have 125. Some have 150. What you're trying to do is you're trying to whittle the list down to, okay, who are the guys that kind of fit us? And then from there, I think you've used the analogy. Hey, I'm trying to get them in the right neighborhood. And then eventually I'll place them in the right house.
Yep.
That's where we are. And so you're trying to take these names. So people will take these lists and, hey, what about this? What you're trying to do is sometimes you put a card up on the board to give it a little exposure. So you make sure that your scout, hey, let's make sure we keep our eye on Cam Wheat. Hey, let's make sure we look at Boye Mafe from Minnesota. Let's make sure we get a good look at him, and then we'll put him with it. But we got to keep him up there so we can have that conversation about that, which is also what I know you do with the top 50. Sometimes you put guys in there because you want the name to be seen and you want to have the conversation. And then eventually we'll whittle it down and determine whether he deserves to stay up there or not.
I don't know what the proper kitchen term is, but what is it? Like it's not a strainer or whatever. You put the stuff in there and it sifts like through it.
Colander, like, or whatever they call it. Colander, whatever they call it.
That's what I'm doing. I'm just trying a strainer. Yeah. I'm just trying to catch the right guys. And then I put them, like you said, I use the term, you know, put them in the neighborhood of the house. I'll talk about guys who are going to travel together. But that's kind of what I'm doing. Let me give you a couple more names of guys I had kind of above the line who, you know, to me, these guys are potential, you know, top or second day picks. So like second, third round, like they have that. They're alive for me. Josh Pascal from Kentucky, who reminds me a little bit of Boogie Basham, is a good player. Mm-hmm. Dominique Robinson from Miami, Ohio. Myron Tagovailoa Amosa from Notre Dame is somebody I really liked. He's one of those, leverage rushers, 6'2", 262. Did you see him in a game? Was he at one of your games?
I think he was at the East-West Shrine game. One of the best guys there. High motor.
Leverage, man. Yeah.
In play, yeah. Real physical. Dominated the point of attack, yes.
A couple more here. Michael Clemens. These guys, this is a group I've got traveling together. I've got Michael Clemens from A&M. I've got Kingsley Enagbare, who had a great week, quiet game, but a great week at Senior Bowl. Myjai Sanders, who travels with those guys. To me, I just want to see him get a little bit stronger. He's, you know, anyway, he's an interesting one. Maybe some others are a little higher on him, but those guys I have traveling together as well. So that's a little look there at the edge rushers. I know we probably went a little bit longer than we wanted to there, but man, it's the fun part, right? You get to watch them. Now it's like, yeah, let's debate. Let's talk about them. Let's see who's with each other and let's sort this out as we go along.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the part of it. Like, and here's what guys are doing in preparation for the combine. Teams are in their meetings and they're beginning to get the initial look. Sometimes those meetings may be, hey, let's just read through all the character with the coaches, but we're not going to talk about the player because you don't want to taint the mind of the coaches. So you may just give the background perspective, whatever. Other teams, like when I was with Seattle and Green Bay and those teams, they're going through every prospect on the board right now. Everyone who had a draftable grade, they're sitting in the meetings, they're watching a couple snapshots or two or three games, and they're re-ranking the board and they're setting the board before they go to the combine because they want to avoid being overly influenced by what takes place.
You want to anchor your board, and so then off that anchor you can move a little bit, but you're tethered to that spot, so you're not going from the sixth round to the first round or vice versa.
Yeah, you want to put them in there within reason. And so what they're doing, everyone, they're having conversations like you and I are having conversations about, hey, whether we want to kind of time to the board. So yes, they may move a little bit over the course of the spring, but we want to kind of get them in the general range. And DJ, as you know, like we would have guys take pictures of the board so we wouldn't have these wide variances when we came back. Because as you alluded to, I don't want to see a guy that's in the sixth round, all of a sudden when we come back for those final meetings, he's now a second round player. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to make sure that, A, we grade them off the tape. We don't want to be overly impacted by how they work out.
Yeah, I would just add that there's a lot of information gathered from the end of the season until we get there. And so I think, and sometimes I'll get some blowback on this, which I really don't care, but I'm sure teams have the similar discussions, which is, how did this guy go from A to Z? And you can say, well, first of all, let's start with the fact that we found out through our medical this kid had a high ankle sprain that he played with the first 6 weeks of the season, which we did not have that information. So that forced us to go back and watch him the year before, where he was a totally different player. We had him listed at 6'2", 255 pounds. He showed up at 6'3 and a half, and he's 270. Like, you know what I mean? Then we interviewed the kid. He's off the charts with his football intelligence and all that stuff. So there's information that we pick up and that teams are picking up that is going to cause these guys to move. I mean, we talk about anchoring, but look, as you learn more, you're going to have movement. That's how it works.
And it's a very fluid situation. That's why all of the angst over initial grades and top five lists and big boards.
The draft is at the end of April, Buck. It ain't today.
The job is to get it right by draft day. And that's what every general manager say. The goal is to get it right on draft day. And so we need to have these conversations and debates to be able to understand how to get people in the right spot based on what we view them and what we expect from them as pros.
Yep. Think about you're in a van and you've piled in about 10 people into that van. And then at the end, by the time we get to April, you're like, okay, these four people got to go out. And we picked up one person. We swung by, picked up one person, put him in there. That's kind of how you're doing these lists. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. All right, give me your defensive tackles, 1 through 5.
Here you go, 1, 2, 5. Let's go Jordan Davis from Georgia, DeMarvin Leal from Texas A&M, Logan Hall from Houston, Devontae White from Georgia, and then I put Travis Jones from Connecticut at that 5 spot.
All right, give me a little bit of something on why you like those guys.
Okay, so Jordan Davis is interesting. Like, here's the thing, though, DJ.
Polarizing, by the way, once you start talking to everybody, very polarizing.
As much as I may like him, I like the size, and I like the thought of having the big plugger in the middle of the defense. The conversation that I have to have is, how often are we going to use him to warrant him being a top pick or that? Because if you can't rush the passer, you can't impact the pass game. It's hard to justify taking someone high. It's also hard to justify putting them on the field. And so right now he sits in the one hole, but I don't know if he's ever going to be able to stay there because he can't impact the passing game. And it's a passing league. And so he's polarizing because of that and some other stuff, you know?
Give me the rest of those guys and give me your thoughts.
Like DeMarvin Leal to me was really active. I like the athleticism. I like the playmaking potential he brings to the table. To me, he's really, really intriguing. I think he is one of those natural inside guys that might surprise us at the next level, just in terms of how he's able to function and create quarterback pressures. The last guy was Devontae Wyatt from Georgia. Man, when you see them, and one, you know, DJ, I'm not envious of the guys who had to scout the Southeast. I don't know how many days you dedicate to Georgia. I don't even know when you go to the school. I think you probably need 2 desks because you got the big sheet of paper with all your defensive guys out there and the way that you do it with all the little boxes and you got your D-line. They have so many guys, DJ. I think you have to have 2 desks. I think you have to sit in the middle and go back and forth. Right. I mean, there are a ton of guys, but Wyatt is really impressive. So you think about Wyatt and the linebackers and all that. He's a really impressive guy. He has some motor. He has some stuff, some toughness to him that I like.
All right, let me go through a couple of these. Jordan Davis, I'm with you. On my first list, I had Jordan Davis as my top guy. He's listed at 6'6", 340. He's a massive human being. Dominant against the run, more pocket push. He flashes a little quickness. I was told he's hit 20 on the GPS, which is insane to me. 20 miles per hour. So we'll see. Crazy. And that we'll see at the combine. I think he's going to probably test better than a lot of folks anticipate. The question is, how big is the tank? because that was the thing against Alabama in the first meeting. They went hurry up. They kept him on the field. They gassed him out. So how long can he go? And I was talking with a GM about this the other day. We were talking not about him, but in defensive tackles in general, and the obsession with inside pass rush that exists around the league. Okay, which is why, by the way, Devontae Wyatt. I'm gonna push him way up. Seeing him in person, I'd heard he was pretty dynamic and explosive, and they have so many guys at Georgia, and he gets a little bit lost in the shuffle.
Yeah,
I won't be shocked if he gets picked ahead of Jordan Davis. That dude's got big time juice and athleticism. But so the conversation was, I need inside pass rush, and then I said, well, I still think there's value in pocket push, right? So I can be a dominant run defender, and I can collapse the pocket. He brought up a good point, which was, yeah, but it better be something where he is explosive and the pocket push is now. Because every quarterback in the league is fine with their center getting slowly walked back. The ball's gone. Even though you're getting push, if it's not sudden and explosive and immediate pocket push, they're fine. The offense is fine with that. Okay, that's fine. We'll give a little ground, but it's not an immediate, you know, knockback. That's something I think with Jordan Davis that is when I get back and go back through again, I'm going to really lock in and focus on that because I gave him a lot of credit for he might not get sacks, but he's dominant against the run. He's going to collapse the pocket. Well, now I need to go back with that thought in my mind. Is this immediate or is this a slow burn, so to speak?
You know, I think that's a good observation. And it is one of those things that you have to worry about because the pressure that you want for most of these quarterbacks is right up the gut so they can see it and feel it. Yeah. But if it's slow, it's like that beep, 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 like that doesn't get it done. It needs to be right now. Devontae Wyatt's immediate pressure is problematic because we've seen what it can cause and what it can create when guys are able to get home right into A-gaps, that little spot between the center and the guard. So it's interesting. I want a guy that can create chaos at the point of attack.
Yeah, I think Wyatt, if I'm buying stock of any of these guys, I'm buying Wyatt stock. That's going to continue to soar. He's probably going to test like a freak too. DeMarvin Leal from A&M, I had him as my fourth guy. It's funny. This is the conversation I was having with the GM, a couple weeks back before I did my list. And I had seen some of the stuff that had come out and, you know, in the media that DeMarvin Leal was going like in the top 10, like top 15, like he was going way up there. So it's all my perspective, right? And so I watched him and I'm like, I didn't really see that. I like him. He's a good player. He's kind of got some inside outside versatility, a little bit of a tweener, but there's a lot to work with. So I'm talking to a GM and I'm like, the hype on this A&M kid, I think is a little bit beyond what I'm comfortable with. And he's like, oh, I really like him. I'm like, oh, you know, I like him. I mean, he's like, no, he can do this, this, and this. I said, yeah, but he can't do that. He goes, no, I agree. He can't do this. So I'm going through this whole thing. He likes him. I'm skeptical. He's telling me all these things. I agree with him. I'm telling them these things. He agrees with it. And I go, where do you think he's going to go? He goes, oh, he'll go in the second round. And I go, yeah, we're saying the exact same thing. It's just that you haven't been sullied by seeing some stuff out there in the media that says he's a top 10, top 15 pick. And he's saying, yeah, we're both seeing the same exact thing. It's just whatever your expectation was going into it.
Okay, so here's the other thing that factors into that. Like DJ, we've talked about the meat and potatoes of this draft are picks 15 to 45.
Yeah.
So what happens when you have the Marvin Leal is, hey, some guys like him closer to 45.
Yeah.
Maybe there's one or two guys that like him closer to 15. Mm-hmm. And so that wide variance is going to make it interesting on draft night because what's going to happen, we're going to have mics in our face and they're going to be like, such and such selects the Marvin there. What?
Yeah.
So where is that? It's going to be crazy because a lot of these guys, we talk about that second round conversation, the grading scale, we would use like anywhere 6'5", 6'9", 7'0", where you're right at that line. Who's above the line? Who's below the line? Where do you fall? Where do you fit?
No doubt. So kind of going through these, Fedarian Mathis from Alabama, I had him, as we had talked about previously, traveling with Wyatt. Wyatt eclipsed him from their time together at the Senior Bowl, so that'll flip. I'm a Logan Hall guy. I love what he brings to the table. He's another one of those, some people might look at him as a tweener, but if you're in sub 70% of the time, put that dude in a three technique and let him go. He's going to create havoc in there.
I think that's the thing. Guy plays hard, has ability to work on the edges, gives you the pass rush stuff that you want. It's You know, and that's the other thing that we have to account for. The league is so much of a package league now.
Yeah.
You know, it's about how many different sub packages can you have? Can you have your 2-4-5 defense where you get 2D linemen, 4 linebackers? Can you go to a 3-3 stack? Can you do a bunch of different things? And so there are a bunch of different ways to get these pass rushers on the field. Creativity is needed. And it's one of those things that you have to consider when you're doing the evaluation.
All right, I'm going to rip through a couple more names here. Travis Jones, you mentioned from UConn, was phenomenal down at the Senior Bowl. I think he does have somebody that's a pocket collapser. I think he is sudden. I think he does get some of that immediate push. He's not getting out of the second round. There's zero chance. He's probably got a better chance of going in the first round than he does going in the third round. So he's going to go in round two. I've got Perrion Winfrey right there with him. Had a phenomenal Senior Bowl week. He's almost 6'4", 303 pounds. The tape, when I did the Senior Bowl first, then did the tape after, the tape in the fall did not match. Like, he wasn't as dynamic, but they do a lot of slanting. He's playing a lot laterally. Didn't get a chance to get upfield quite as much. So he's an interesting one. Here's some guys I've got riding together. I've got Zachary Carter from Florida, mm-hmm. who had a solid Senior Bowl. I've got Kalia Davis from UCF, who's an intriguing player. A little bit short, but he's got some athleticism. And then Ogbonia from UCLA, who was a Senior Bowl guy. I've got all three of those guys graded similarly. They're riding together. And then a list of other guys in this next clump here, Buck. Thomas Booker from Stanford. Butler from Tennessee is interesting. I think he was at one of your games. Was Matthew Butler from Tennessee maybe at the East-West?
I think both of those guys were there. Like, Thomas Booker for sure was there. Both of those guys were in attendance. Thomas Booker was terrific at a point of attack. Yeah, both of those.
Those guys, like, that puts him like fourth round. Noah Ellis, which, by the way, I think we have somebody from the Ellis family every year from Idaho. I think since we were scouting, they've always had an Ellis, which is the E-L-L-I-S-S spelling of the last name. I haven't done my homework yet to see how he's related to all these dudes, but I promise he is. He's a big old horse down there as a nose. So that's kind of some of those guys. Neil Farrell, Jaden Peavy from A&M. That's kind of that above the line group that we've got there. I think it's a better edge rusher group than a D tackle group.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I believe our session with pass rushing, it kind of fits. And I think it's the perfect time now. I think you need to go after your pass rushers early because I like the explosive high sack guys. I believe it's a terrific class. Look, defensive tackle, I think, is a weird spot anyway, because if you don't have the pass rusher guys on the interior, you're not going to value them as much. And so, it's great stopping the run. I'm still a proponent of stopping the run. I don't know if in building my team, though, I'm investing significant capital early for a run stopper at the point of attack.
Yeah, there was one other name I was going to mention here. It's Yua Zuriki. Ioma, I guess, from Iowa State. He was at the East West. This is one of those deals at the East West. He's 6054, so 6'5 and a half, 319 pounds. I think he had like 9 sacks at Iowa State. So I watched him. I was like, man, you don't see that combination of production and size and stuff. So I watched him. I'm like, okay, he plays really high, but he's got some quickness. There's something to him. He's definitely interesting to monitor as we go through the process. But I called a buddy that was down there at that game all week long, and I'm like, how'd that Iowa State DT do? He's like, he won the weigh-ins, but he didn't do much after that. I was like, okay, you know, so I'll eventually get to watch the practice tapes, but he was another interesting one.
No, interesting, but even with that, DJ, like, guys who have high weight speed, guys who look the part, I mean, we can go through all the rosters in the league, the guys that are playing, starting, mm-hmm. that came in the league viewed as those guys. So it'd be interesting. It'd be nice to keep an eye on him. He could be one of those guys that maybe gets hot late as more people dig in and begin to craft a plan for how to utilize him.
Yeah, again, I'm drinking from a fire hose right now, getting all these guys watched. And it's, again, for another analogy, is this a base layer of paint we get on to get all these guys seen before the combine? And then it's my favorite part, because now I have all the numbers. I've got my grades. And now I can go back through, okay, let's take a deeper dive on these three guys and sort out that little cluster. It's going to be a big cluster buster year for Path of the Draft, Buck.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. A lot of shows, like, from day one, we're going to have to start busting clusters so we have enough time to get through some of these names.
No doubt. All right. Anything else you want to add before we get out of here? This has been, I know we went a little long, but it was fun jumping into that position.
No, it's fun. And I think, like, obviously everyone understands the emphasis. The combine is a little over a week away. Like, we got some time, but we got to get into these prospects, because the way they push back the calendar to the NFL, it is a sprint.
Dude, man. To the starting line. I lost 2 weeks, man. Like, I normally have another week after the Super Bowl to get ready for the combine. And then a lot of years, because the Super Bowl is away, I don't have to do as much, so I can get that. It was like, man, I'm like, why do I have so many dang guys to watch? I'm like, oh, you lost 2 weeks.
Yeah, nah. So you got to catch up and get it. But look, we'll be working hard on names and going through it up until the beginning of the combine, trying to make sure that you have everybody, you got enough intel on everybody to feel good about having a conversation about them with anybody.
Yeah.
That's the trick. The trick is who's who and what's what.
No doubt. All right, brother. This has been fun. It's great to be back with you. Have a great call. Again, the HBCU Legacy Bowl Saturday. That's 4 Eastern on NFL Network. You can see Bucky there calling that one. So hope you guys have enjoyed this. We are, NFL season is over, and now the real season begins. This is why you listen to this podcast. Hopefully you enjoy this as much as we do. This is our time. And it's going to be a blast as we head towards April. So that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Nabil for the excellent job producing. Great to be back with Bucky. We'll be back with you again here shortly on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.